welcome. Pastor Dan's going to be on our panel today. But before we get into our panel, we just wanted to take a moment to say happy Father's Day to Dan.
I seriously had no idea why you got him up. I was like, what are we doing?
He's stressed.
I was looking at my...
We wanted to send a massive happy Father's Day to our incredible location, Pastor Dan.
Thank you.
This may be his second earthly Father's Day, but it's definitely not his secondly spiritual dad happy Father's Day. So we just wanted to say a massive happy Father's Day.
Thank you. We love you.
We have a small gift for you from church. We just want to say we love you so much. Thanks for loving on us, praying for us.
Thank you.
Happy Father's Day, but it's lots of fun. But you can grab your seat, because Pastor Dan is our first panelist for today. And this chair is actually pretty comfy.
Oh, me too.
I'm not going to sit down yet because there's a few others. But I want to make you have us a massive... I can't even speak English today. I want us to give a massive welcome to Dave Stewart.
Come on.
Where's Dave? Here he is. Dave's going to come up. You're awesome, Dave. We're going to hear from Dave today. And we're also going to hear from the awesome Darren Chan. Welcome to the stage, Darren. Happy Father's Day, Dave. He just stole your handshake. Happy Father's Day, Darren. Grab a seat.
I feel like we should do a cheers, boys. Having a beer in church.
It's a ginger beer. It's
a
non-alcoholic ginger beer.
Cheers, Daz.
He's just reading the ingredients
really quick.
Cheers,
boys.
Oh, happy Father's Day, Dad.
Just making sure it's not alcoholic.
It's not, I promise.
No, it's not.
I'm not a dad, but I stole the ginger beer today anyway, because...
Holy energy.
So much fun. But hey, we're in store for an awesome Sunday today, hearing from Father's Day from three incredible dads in our church. So before we get started, I just wanted you to... we're going to talk about some stuff today. We're going to interview and just speak with these awesome dads. And I just wanted on the front foot, as Pastor Ed mentioned earlier, that, you know, today can be a super exciting day for some, and today can be a hard day for some, but... What we can learn from these three incredible gentlemen today, it doesn't just affect in our fatherly relationships, but this can flow into all our relationships. The principles we'll learn today, the things we'll learn from these awesome gents will be able to flow into all our relationships. And for us at C3 Powerhouse, you'll know that we're finishing up a series today called Unfiltered, where we've been speaking about relationships. So today we may be talking a lot about dads and children, but if you're sitting in the room today, you can also reinterpret that for any relationship that you're in with your parents, your grandparents, your friends. It'll flow into all friendships. But to start us off, I may have already said your name if people haven't met you. But starting with you, Darren, tell us a little about who you are. We've got a family photo of Darren, I believe. Can we put it up on the... There he is.
Hey.
I just gave away how many kids you have. But tell us how many kids you have, what's their names, and a little bit about yourself.
Yep. So I have the privilege of having two boys. Ethan and Bryce. So Ethan's 13, almost going on 14, and Bryce is 10. Yep.
So cool. Fantastic. And what do you do for work?
Primarily, I sort of work in IT as a technical writer, and then also have a photography side business
so cool.
as well. So
Very talented. Fantastic. And Dave, tell us a little bit about yourself, how many kids you have in their ages, and I believe there's a photo coming up of Dave's family. It's not that one. That one will come up later. That was a bit of a teaser. Right. This family one.
Hello.
There we go. It's on.
Yep. Rightio. So I'm Dave. I've got that family up there. So I've got Talia, who's 23, Aiden, 28, me, Sherilyn, 38, Jack, 26.
Nice.
Smart man.
And my awesome daughter-in-law on the far right.
So cool. Beautiful. And what do you do for work, Dave?
I'm working in the automotive industry, bits and pieces.
Awesome. Fantastic. And right on the end, Pastor Dan, tell us your stage. What do you do for work?
Not much.
not much. He does lots for work.
Yeah, no. For those that don't know, I'm a pastor. I'm also a teacher by trade, PE teacher, which is cool. Not teaching right now. And my beautiful wife and I welcomed our first child 15 months ago today, little Brave. And it's just been such a joy to become a dad. And obviously so much of me being on this panel, obviously I'm at the start of my journey just learning. So I'll be sharing a lot about lessons I learned from my dad. But just wanted to say, just quickly, Toby, like thank you to all the dads, because for me becoming a dad, having guys like Dave Stewart and Darren and other great men has just helped that journey transition into fatherhood, because we've got so many great role models here. So happy Father's Day, fellas.
So good. So good. Fantastic. And a quick fire. Tell us one thing. We'll start with you, Dan. One thing you love about being a dad.
Outside of my walk with Jesus and my marriage, I got to say being a dad has brought me the most joy in my life. One thing I love is just the fun we have. I find for me, it pulls out my fun side. You can ask Ebony, we're always screaming, wrestling, fighting, doing mischief. I'm starting to teach him some bad habits, which apparently isn't good. But I just love how much fun being a dad is so far, and the games and the wrestling.
Awesome. So cool. How about you, Dave? What's one thing you love about being a dad?
It's probably been the hardest, most challenging, frustrating thing I've ever done, but I've got three of my best friends sitting over there that just bring so much joy to my life. Just awesome.
So sweet. So cool. And how about you, Darren? What's one thing you love about being a dad?
Oh, look, I have to agree with Pastor Dan. It's the fun element. I love making my kids cringe. So so bad.
There's one of them
you
in
know,
here today.
Doing little pranks or, you know, just, yeah, doing stuff to make them cringe is fun.
That's so fun.
They don't think it's funny, but I do. But so.
that's what matters. That's great.
Yeah.
And coming off the back of that, we'll start with you, Darren. What is one we love to hear about shockers or your dad fail? What's a funny shocker, fail, funny moment that you've had in your years of being a dad?
Oh, look, probably the kids love me to make them pancakes on the weekend. And one thing I don't like about cooked pancakes is when they're raw in the middle. So I like to make sure they're properly cooked. And the kids are particularly sensitive if it's cooked too much. And so instead of saying that they're well cooked, they just go, oh, Dad, it's cooked to over perfection. So
over perfection.
Yeah.
That's good. That's good. How about you, Dave? What's a shocker funny moment that you've had in dad life?
Well, I suppose most dads understand. I tended to parent sometimes a bit of anger, tired, frustration, and the kid to do something wrong, and I go, right, no food for a week. And Charlene would go, you can't do that. They'll die. Or the other one was, you know, right, you're not doing this, and it's something I actually really wanted to do, and I'd walk away going, not quite sure who got punished there, but, you know, Charlene actually adjusted a lot of that stuff.
That's so good. Thank you, Charlene, for looking after your children and feeding them. That's good, that's good. And how about you, Pastor Dan? What's one shocker?
Well, yeah, seasonally, a lot of mine are to do with nappies and poo. And I remember when he was very young, something I could do is get up in the middle of the night after a feed and look after, help him. And I just remember in the first few weeks of his life, I was still learning how to do the whole nappy vibe. I was very slow. And one time, it was like 3 a.m. I let Ebony go back to sleep. He was peeing on me. And so I started panicking. And then I was freaking out in the middle of the night trying to get the nappy back on. And then let's just say something else happened that shot over 2 meters and hit the door. And maybe this is more of a husband fail. So then I woke up Ebony to help me clean it.
Poor Pastor Eb.
Fail, sorry, my bad. I was tired.
He was tired. That's good. It's good to, our dads have fails and it's good to laugh about them because in the moment you probably weren't laughing. In the moment you're probably freaking out.
I'm not laughing.
So we can laugh at it now. We can laugh it on the back, but which is so cool. And you may have noticed there's three incredible dads at all different stages of life. And so we'll start off with you, Dan. A quick question just around, so obviously you've shared that you have awesome little Brave. He's coming in Croatia at the moment. How old's Brave? 15 months old.
Today, yeah.
Today. Oh, fantastic. Look at that. So just wanted to quickly for you to share a key thought with us on what it's like being a dad for young age children, so that 0 to 5 years old, whether you're in the room with 0 to 5 years. I believe there's multiple people in the room with young children, with kids, with teenagers, with adults. And so we're just going to go through super quick of what they're like in different ages of life, stages
totally.
Of life.
Love that. Well, as I said, I'm still at the beginning of my journey. I'm definitely learning every day. And I just got to say, again, one great thing I've done is get other great men around me. Dave took me camping a few years ago. And how many questions did I ask you about being a dad, do you reckon? Yeah, one or... Oh, okay, I thought it was
one
like five
two,
or ten.
100.
If you, yeah, there you go.
200,
But yeah, I think, so very early ages, like I heard this thought and it really helped me is that one really good thing I can do when the bub's really young is to help look after mum. And it was like this thought of mum looks after baby, dad look after mum. And so I've just found in this season something I can do that helps our family as, and I'm definitely not perfect, but just helping a lot around the house, helping just with anything I can with Ebony and just, I guess, trying to look after mum in those very early ages. But as he turned about 3 or 4 months old, just something I feel that I've loved about this season is just spending lots and lots of quality time with him. And so I think we don't want to... I'm learning don't to fall into the temptation. Or one day when they're four and they can talk is when I'm going to have fun and build a relationship. But something I've tried to do very intentionally from day one is just spend lots and lots of quality time with him. And Pastor John said this line. It's from a book. But he said, children spell love T-I-M-E. And I read a book just as Ed was pregnant about just the importance of lots of physical touch, eye contact, fun, playing. And so, yeah, just one thing practically what I've done is every day I've got a goal. This is just how I operate. My brain needs goals. 30 minutes of, like, uninterrupted focus time hanging out with Brave. And it's just whatever he wants to do, the phone's off, TV's off. And that's just something I found really it's been working. And what the other side of that I'm seeing from such a young age, we have such a bond and relationship already, even though he's 1 year old. So that'd be one thought I've learned.
That's so cool. Love it. How about you, Darren? Would you like to add on to that? You've got some younger boys. We'll ask that soon. But yeah, from that young age, we'll take you back a decade for when you had
young... Take you back to the nappy zone.
Take you back to the nappy zone. What was one thing that you can share with us from your younger years for your boys?
Yeah, I think really it's similar to Dan, is actually just being present for your kids and just getting actively involved, like if you can, like, you know, obviously for the mums it can be obviously very physically and emotionally involved, and so if you can sort of get involved, like, you know, like in the feeding if you can. Obviously you can't breastfeed and stuff, but you
know, I tried, it didn't work.
Yeah.
That is shocking.
I just wanted to confirm that.
That's good. Thank you. Thank you, Dan.
I wasn't that adventurous, but...
We'll move on. It's anyway, fine. It's fine. Yeah, we'll just ignore that. We'll cut that from the podcast.
You mute my mind.
We'll continue.
Yeah, I think, you know, just getting more involved and provide a bit of relief and pressure, that all helps.
That's so cool. Yeah. And now, obviously, you've got two boys, you're saying 10 and 12, I believe, did you say?
Yes, 10 and 12.
So now going that older years, what's one thought you can share with us on having the younger children?
Yeah, so I guess probably from that 5 to 10 age bracket, I guess kids start to look up more to you. And it was beautiful, like Bryce gave me a Father's Day. He made his own Father's Day card for me this morning, and it said, oh, you know, you're stronger than the whole... You're more cool than Superman because you're my superhero. It was such a beautiful card, and I guess it's a reflection of that age bracket where they really look up to their dads as a role model. So I guess it's really important to reflect good values and habits and stuff as a dad. So
yeah, I love that. So special. That's a card you'll hold on forever, I'm sure. I don't know if you're the kind of that you hide your cards away, you keep them for memories. But I'd probably cry if I read that. But
yeah, I keep all their cards.
So special.
It's beautiful.
So special. Yeah. How about you, Dave? You've got some... So now, obviously, your kids are out of school, a bit older. But for those teenage years, what's one thought you can share with us, being a dad to teenagers?
It's time. It is... I never got so hung up on school with them, so... Things like every time I had an RDO, I'd pull one of the kids out of school.
That's awesome.
Sorry?
That's awesome.
Well, do you know, one of the teachers, I don't know why Talia said this, but she had a day off and goes to school and says, the teacher said, where have you been? She goes, I had a naughty day with Dad. So anyway, the teacher complains to the principal of the school, and we got called in, and the principal said, if you ever stop doing that, I'm going to be disappointed, because they're going to learn more with you on that day and a dad wanting to do that. So I did that for years. And one of the things kids always say, Dad, remember when. Not what
That's
I bought,
so cool.
What I remember when. So when they were really young, it was just every RDO, I just took one of the kids out of school. And sometimes it was for them, you know, like whatever you want to do today, but sometimes they had to just... traipse around with me, but I used to do that all the time with them.
That's so cool.
And every dinner.
Every dinner.
Dinner time, every time. I've never missed a dinner with them.
That's so good.
So, yeah, always did that too.
That's love that, Dave. Thank you so much. And, yeah, that's awesome. And now, obviously, you've got three beautiful children and a daughter-in-law as well. So now they're a bit older, out of school. What's one thought you can share as being a dad to adults?
Well, in the transition, I know... our society doesn't, I don't think, does it really well with kids. And I think the initiation into adulthood's not good. And I think Dan and I have talked about it, but when they turned 13, I said I'd take a week off, do whatever they want with me, one off, just whatever they wanted to do. And we did that. We did 1 week, didn't matter when it was, when they turned 13, and they picked what we did. And it wasn't going to Disneyland or anything stupid like that, but it was something that they... It was just time in with them. So that's for our family. Anyone wants to go to Disneyland, go your hardest. But, yeah. Once again, dinner. Like, we've always had dinner together. And some of the funniest times have been around the dinner table and the laughter. You know, and sometimes dinner would go for an hour and a half, 2 hours, just sitting around, just the banter and the things like... I have not been the perfect dad. I have got angry, frustrated, and I can actually remember more mistakes that I did than I got right. But a bit later on, I'll actually explain to you. I actually asked the kids before this what I did and was I a good dad and what I did. So I'll talk to you a bit about that.
No, that'd be so good. I'll get the tissues ready because... No, not that? Okay, we're all good. Fantastic. But I love those thoughts. And there's so many of us in there as we... father through that many things. And as I was saying before, like, even that time thing. And I know me and my wife, Ash, we've ever met Ash before. We've got her incredible parents, John and Nikki. Where are they today? Happy Father's Day, John. These two are just like, and I love that time thing, that even as, you know, Ash and I are now married, Ash doesn't live at home, except like that. But we have family dinner every single Monday night. And I know it's a highlight for all of our weeks that even, you know, we did it when we were engaged, we did it when we were dating at home and stuff. But now that we're married, we still do it with Hannah and Lucas, our sister and her husband. So time and dinner, they're so special. So thank you so much. It's so cool. But moving into our next question, I wanted to ask you, I'm going to ask each of you as well. So we'll start with you, Pastor Dan, that obviously being a dad is great. You've shared the things you love about being a dad, but sometimes there are things that are challenging about being a dad. And so Dan, starting with you, what's a challenge that you've had being a dad and how have you overcome it?
Besides getting peed on and
pooed
on?
Yeah, besides right. That one, yeah.
Something that's... came up, like, I'm only 15 months in, but yeah, I definitely say the wrestle with guilt. And I don't know if it's just more my personality. I have a gut feeling a lot of dads wrestle with it, but just, yeah, like that feeling of, am I doing enough? Am I being enough? I remember, yeah, when we found out we were pregnant, of course, like I'm so excited, but a thought comes instantly like, am I ready? Am I going to be a good dad? Am I going to do a good job? And then he's born, and then my head's saying the same thing. Am I ready? Am I going to be a good dad? Am I going to do a good job? And then now we're a year in, and I'm still wrestling those thoughts. And so I think for me, yeah, it's just been a bit of a challenge of just the expectations. And I guess something I'm trying to work on is just, like, rather than asking myself the question, was I perfect? And even Dave said this, I'm so early on, but I've already got moments where I'm like, oh, I could have done that better and could have treated Ed better there or Brave better there. And I think what I've done to help myself in this world is rather than asking, was I perfect or did it go exactly to plan? It's just more, did I do the best I could? And so, yeah, that's been a challenge I've had. And I'd just say becoming a dad, you got to, for the sake of your family, you're dying to yourself at a new level. So that's like what marriage is you're being selfless and putting another person first. And I found the transition from just Ebony and I to becoming a dad, it's a new level of you got to die to yourself and be selfless. And, you know, so that's another challenge. It's not just guilt, but, just the less time to do things that you might, want to do or this or that. But just coming back to that heart every time of, I'm happy to die to myself for the sake of my family. And so, there'd be a few things I've wrestled with.
Love those thoughts. So good, so good. How about you, Dave? What's one thing that's been a struggle and how have you overcome it?
Discipline. Like, I'm a tough dad, or I have been a tough dad. I got criticised for it pretty heavily. You can't go away from what the Bible says. And one of the struggles I had, and we've talked about it with my kids, like... You know, I've been strict and I've been disciplined and corporal punishment, that's what I copped a massive amount of. I didn't have a good relationship with my dad and he was just like basically come home and he'd give me a flogging every night type thing. So Aiden, but saying that, the Bible's pretty clear on it. I look at where I am now and maybe something was good out of all that. But with my three kids, I had to learn three styles of discipline. because one of them required corporal punishment and has since said, thank you so much for doing that, Dad, because I'm, you know, and we have an awesome relationship. The other one would have been, I would have broken his spirit if I had done that. So I've had to learn different styles of punishment. And Talia would have left home. She would have just packed up and gone if I'd used the same style of punishment for all kids or discipline for the, all the kids. So that was a real challenge for me where I came from to learn that. And that's the wisdom of Sherilyn on the way through, teaching me, say, looking at it from the outside, looking in, going, well, yeah, this ain't going to work. So grace of God also, you know, actually listening to Sherilyn. And with the discipline thing, my kids have always had... I've got it wrong a lot of times. And so they've always had the recourse from a very young age. I would apologise. If I stuffed it up, I'd go, hey, sit them down and go, look, I was out of line. I'm sorry.
That's awesome.
And Talia said the other day, she said, Dad, one of the things was really good I learned very early. You weren't, like a lot of kids thought their parents were perfect. I saw you guys weren't, and I would do that. But they always had a recourse too. And I'd say, once the heat is out of the situation, you know, then I'm not angry and emotional about it all, you're welcome to come back and see me, and if I've made a mistake, yep, we'll address it, you know. And even just, mate, 5 weeks ago at conference, I got pulled aside by one of my kids and said, Dad, you're out of line. And I had to cop it and go, yep, I'm sorry. So it doesn't stop.
Encouraging. That's good. Thanks so much for sharing, Dave. That's so cool. How about you, Darren? What's one thing that's been a challenge in fatherhood, and how have you overcome it?
Yeah, I guess with fatherhood and the role of fatherhood, I guess it's like a role and a calling. And I guess one thing I found is that it actually brings out things in you that you didn't know you had. So like sort of learned behaviours or particular character flaws. And kids seem to be really good at bringing those out.
Finding them.
Exceptionally. So it sort of shocked me. Some of the things that it brought out in me, and I guess one of those things was maybe like anger and maybe a little short-temperedness and so I guess it's really just, I mean, I guess, you know, being a parent, it's a partnership with your wife, being able to talk about it and I guess find ways of actually, well, I mean, obviously there's personal development, getting professional help. There's also, you know, just... I guess one thing I guess we're sort of learning is like, don't try and address a situation when you're angry. Like, create some space for the situation to cool down before actually addressing it. So, and like Dave said, too, letting your kids know that you're not perfect. Like, not having a, I guess, facade that parents are perfect and
right.
And that, you know... So, yeah, I also have the habit too of, you know, I stuff up. So I always go to the kids, I'm sorry, you know, for being angry, apologise, you know, and then obviously try and work towards being better at that. So, yeah.
That's so cool. Thanks so much for being vulnerable with us as well. It's so cool. But moving on from that, whether it's partnered with this, I just wanted to quickly ask us. I'll start with you, Darren. What's a Bible verse you use about being a dad, whether that's to help you in those moments where it's a bit harder? Or maybe it's just an encouragement. Yeah, what's a Bible verse you love to apply to your life being a dad?
Yeah, probably one my life scripture is like Philippians 3:12. It's not that I already attained or perfected, but I press on to lay hold of what Christ has for me. So it's like what Pastor Dan talked on. It's not being the perfect dad or perfect at doing something, but it's actually, as it says, you know, it's a partnership with God in what you're doing. Yeah, just going, well, learn from your mistakes and keep moving forward. So,
I love that. So cool. That's so awesome. How about you, Dave? What's a Bible verse you love to hold on to as a dad?
Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean on your own understanding. You know, in Him, acknowledge all your ways and He'll make your path straight. I think that's Proverbs 3:5. Sherilyn?
Yep.
Yeah, that one. And that through circumstances in our family, that's just one I've always hung on to. You know, just trust God.
That's so cool. And I think there's, as we've mentioned this morning, there's so many of us in the room today, and whether you have an awesome earthly father, whether you have an absent earthly father, or whether or not you don't have the best relationship, or maybe he's no longer around, but there's one thing we all have in common today, and it's we all have a heavenly father. And we all can experience a heavenly father that loves each and every single one of us in our own way. And so, Dave, I thought I'd just quickly ask you, what's one thing that's helped you include God in being a father here on earth?
I thought some question like this might come up. In years gone by, I haven't been a person to put stuff to prayer. I haven't been a person that's really committed everything to God and all that. But you know what I have done? I've taken my kids, well, we as a family have always gone to church. We have gone to youth. We have done all those things. So maybe that's where the faithfulness has come in, not so much being my personal prayer life and committing stuff to God. Now I do, as I'm a bit older and relaxed a bit in life. But certainly I think the importance of being at church every week, just the, not the discipline, but, the routine of, church is just not a compromise. We're there, unless you're on holidays, but you know what I mean? Our life was church. It was life groups. It was, youth. All those things were they were kind of a non-compromise in our family. And I think that's where you're portraying it to your children. You may not be speaking it, but you're portraying it in your lifestyle.
That's so cool. And you can see it now into your awesome kids that, it comes to mind that scripture that for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. And you can echo that. You can see that in your family from what you've led so brilliantly. So that's awesome. How about you, Pastor Dan? What's one thing you can do to include God into being a father?
Well, I think so much of what I learned from Pastor John, and I heard him preaching at a men's conference, and he just was talking to the men, and he said, we're called to be the kings and priests, not one or the other. And I guess the king side, which I won't talk about now, is just for context. It's like, hey, we are the leader, and we are called to lay our life down for our family and to go first. But we're not just called to be the leader. We're called to be the priest of our home. And what that looks like is to intercede for. A priest would pray, get on their knees on behalf of. And so for me, I'm not perfect at this, but my goal is that before my wife and my son even wake up, I've already been seeking God on their behalf. And so I've kind of tried to take on that mantle of the priest of our home. And so for me, how I include God is I get up earlier than everyone else in my family most days, and I get on my knees, and I obviously seek God for me personally, but I love to spend time praying over my wife, over our marriage, over my son. Eb and I, since the day Brave was born, I don't think we've missed one day. We will end every day praying for him together. Our hands are on his head and just speaking a blessing of God over him. And I just think when we were pregnant, I was praying about becoming a dad, and I just felt God say to me, like, what you speak over your son and pray for your son will shape who he becomes. And I took that obviously it's a joy, but it's a responsibility. As a dad, I need to prophesy over him and declare the word of God and pray. And I would just say to every dad, don't underestimate the power of your prayer for your children. They are literally shaping their destiny, shaping their future, protecting them from evil. And so that'd be one thing. As I said, not perfect, but that'd be my goal.
Yeah, that's so cool. And I know that 10, 18 years down the track, when Brave's I don't want to freak you out. When Brave's an adult, he'll look back and he'll know, then he'll remember that, and he'll be so appreciative. So I just wanted to ask you quickly, Pastor Dan, actually. For those of us that have met Pastor Dan's dad before, Pastor Rod, he comes here occasionally, plays the keys for us. He lives up on the Sunshine Coast, but he's an awesome dad. And so from what I can see, but Dan, can you share with us what's something you loved about your dad?
Wow. Well, I just want to echo what you said. I am old enough now, and I think you mentioned this around your children, is I recognize I am who I am today because of my parents and because of my dad. And although when I was a teenager, I was a schmuck and would not have even said anything like close to that. So if you're a dad of a teenager, even though they're not using their words, one day they will. They'll understand. But I got to say what Dave said. I consider my dad my best friend now. And he's, that's a beautiful moment of, I guess, when you do fatherhood well. That's now my desire, is Brave would say that one day around me. Three things I feel my dad did really well. One of my earliest memories of him is, and I'll move on from the prayer thing, but I just remember my dad every night. I would have fallen asleep already, and he'd just come in and put his hand on my head, and he'd just be praying in the spirit and praying over me as a child. So one thing I just always knew through my whole life is I have a dad who's praying for me. And for those who don't know my story, I walked away from God as a teenager. So even in my darkest moment, as far as I was from God, I still knew my dad was praying for me. And you don't know how much that meant to me, even though I was far from God. I think a second thing my dad did really well and I try to emulate is he just loved me unconditionally and consistently. And as I just said, I had good moments and then I was a terrible little schmuck for a season. But my dad's love for me never wavered. And I knew even in my darkest moments I could turn to my father. And even though I'd just done the dumbest thing or the police had done blah, 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 whatever. My dad just loved me consistently. And just lastly, really practically, he just got involved in my world. And so, you know, the poor guy, I remember I took like, because I loved bungee jumping and adrenaline and rugby. And my poor dad is not that at all. But I remember my dad did bungee jumping with me. He would take me to rugby games. He hates rugby. He bought a motorbike just so him and I could go motorbiking together. And so I just think like something he did is when we were teenagers is he found what we loved. For me, it was motorbiking and jumping off bridges. For my brother, it was fishing. But like he, even though it wasn't his preference, he would get involved in that. And then we had some very special quality time. So very similar to what Dave was sharing. So they're three quick thoughts as I reflect.
I love that. I love that quality time. It's almost a key through all these answers, which is so cool. But I'm going to ask you this, Darren. There's some of us in the room today that are earthly fathers, but there's also a lot of us in the room today that I can see and they can see themselves as spiritual fathers, especially being in the house of God, being as an older gentleman to the younger generations. But if there was someone in the room today, Darren, going, I want to become a spiritual father in our house, what would you say for them to do?
I would sort of pray about it, obviously. And then obviously being part of a church community, being involved, whether serving at church and or Connect Group or wherever, just really just praying about it and seeing people that you think that you could be a father to. And it's really through relationship and being in community that you'll sort of identify who those people might be. So, and I guess also too, if you're a great role model and reflect, you know, a person of great character and wisdom and stuff, I think people will naturally sort of gravitate towards you. Yeah, because I mean, I've had a couple of younger guys that have approached me to ask questions about stuff. I guess I didn't really see myself. I don't know. I guess it's probably not something I would kind of see myself doing, but I guess people will naturally gravitate towards you if they see something on your life. So, yeah.
That's so cool. Would you have any other thoughts, Dave, added on to that about being a spiritual dad to...
No, and I think it's the same thing, exactly what you said, and it was praying about it, and just being present and being intentional. I think they're the two. That's what we're all talking about here with our kids, is being present and intentional. I think if you want to be a spiritual father, I think, you've got to be intentional and present.
That's so cool. And Pastor Dan, will ask you, if someone's in the room today and they're looking for a spiritual father, they're looking for someone, what's something that they could do to get that?
It's really good. I think just take the initiative is something I'd say. I feel like both parties kind of often wait for the other one to take the first step, if that makes sense. So we've got men in the house who are like, I'd love to pass on wisdom and father. And we've got a next generation who are desperate for fathering and role models. And I would just say, so take a step. Like as Darren said, people have approached him and said, can I shout you a coffee? And that's what I would say. Just literally look for a man in this house who has fruit in their life and who you look up to. And often, as you said, Darren, it's in connect groups and serving. We build these relationships. And then I'd just say, take the step, take the risk and say, hey, could I take you out for a meal, my shout? And then bring questions. Have your notebook out. Like, that's how I would do it. I know I'm a bit full on, but I just think, come with questions.
Have a written monologue, essay, yes.
How about I take it back a crazy step? Come with questions. Just like, you know, don't then just go out and just sit there and talk about how Collingwood suck. Like, go and... go. I can't say that, they won. Yeah. Come and just have questions and go, hey, I'm about to get married. So for me, Toby, when I was about to get married, I took five men out for a coffee. And it was super casual. It wasn't like some weird official thing. Like, hey, Dave, can you be my spiritual dad? Like, it's not that. It's like, hey, Dave, let's go camping. Let's hang out. Yeah, that I made you so uncomfortable. I felt uncomfortable.
Dave didn't like any of that. Yeah.
I felt so uncomfortable then. But you know, I would just say get in their world and ask questions. And as Dave shared, like, that's what I did when I was becoming a dad. I've asked Darren, I've asked John, I've asked Dave, I've asked Warren, like, what do you wish you knew when you were in my shoes? What do you wish you knew when you were just about to get married? What do you wish you knew when you were buying your first house? Just ask good questions.
That's so cool. That's so cool. And to finish us up, she wants some ginger beer. We'll start with you, Pastor Dan. As we mentioned before that, you know, we've spoken about the earthly fathers, we've spoken about spiritual fathers, but as we mentioned before about our Heavenly Father, something we can all have access to, which is so incredible. And I'm going to ask you, Pastor Dan, what's something that your journey has been about discovering God as your Father?
Yeah, I'd say this was a big journey for me, even with a great earthly father. So I think it's a journey for all of us, but probably one thing that's changed my life is finding how the Father thinks about me through His Word. And so I've had a few moments where I've just read a scripture about how the Father loves me, how He sees me, and it radically is like, wow. And then what I do is I go to work on making that my mindset. And so right. I'll spend at least 5 minutes every day in prayer spending time with the Father. And that's where I'm actually speaking it out. Like, I am your beloved Son in whom you're well pleased. And so it's almost like I need to read the Word, get the truth, but then rewire my thinking. My thinking always is a bent to, I'm not good enough, I'm not enough, how could you love me? So I've had to go to work, and I do that every day in the secret place of, Father, no, that's not true. You do love me. And I just sit at His feet, let His love fill me, and transform the way I think.
That's so cool. Thank you so much for sharing. And Dave, what about you? What's something that you've learned about discovering God as your Father?
I had a really clear, when I reckon Aiden was a couple of days old, and I remember bathing him in our kitchen, just in a tub thing. And I remember looking at him and I just broke down and started crying. I love this child so much and he'd done nothing to deserve it. And I actually got a glimpse of how much God loves me. Yeah. And that, I still remember it. So I can tell you exactly where I was. And that was the moment where I actually got a glimpse. And I mean, it's only a glimpse because I'm so imperfect that I could see how much Christ loved me. So it just blows me away. Emotional.
So good. Very emotional. How about you, Darren? What's one thing you've learned about discovering God as your Father?
Yeah, similar. It seemed to resonate with a lot of these guys are saying. Just how much He loves. But being a father, and I guess you have those moments where you just look on your child and you just go, I have this unconditional love for my kids. And then it's like, well, that's how God feels about me. You know, and there's that scripture, and is it Proverbs 103 verse 11 or something, where it talks about as high as the heavens are above the earth, how much He loves those who fear Him. So, you know, His love is enormous, like, and unconditional. So, yeah.
So cool. That's so cool. And just to finish up, Dave, I'm sure people are asking why there was a photo of you on the screen before. Can you share us a little bit about that photo? Because I'm also very intrigued on why the photo is there.
Right. Hands up anyone that's got a daughter. Right. Don't trust them. For a second, I'll warn you, even when they're 20, Dad, can we dye your hair? No. No, come on, Dad. It washes out in six washes. Oh, okay. So anyway, that's after six washes. I got to go to the post office. I have reps coming to see me. 3 months later, it went to pink. So, thanks, Talia.
Don't trust them. Don't trust them. That's good. That's good. But, hey, you guys are phenomenal dads. As you can see, even dads that dye their hair orange and pink, you guys are phenomenal dads that I know I have the honour to look up to, but I know so many of us in the room get to look up to each and every single week to strive to and to become like some awesome dads. As we close, Pastor Dan, I'd just love for you to pray for us, if that's okay, just as we go about our week.
Awesome. Why don't we all reach out to the Lord, but particularly for your dad. Father, we're just so grateful for this incredible privilege to be dads. Lord, as Darren shared, we just remember today it's not just a role. Father, it's a calling. And you promised us through your word, whenever you call us to something, whenever you appoint us to something, there is an anointing from the Holy Spirit that comes upon us to help us be the men you've called us to be. So, Lord, I pray for every dad, every grandfather, every spiritual father in this room. And I just declare in the name of Jesus and a fresh anointing coming upon us to be the fathers you've called us to be the kings and to be the priests. Lord, to get on our knees before you on behalf of our family, to lay down our life and to love, Lord, unconditionally, Lord, to give time to our children, to be role models of what a true man of God looks like. So I declare the blessing of God on every dad, over every family, over every household, God. I pray over every marriage. Let it strengthen in the name of Jesus Christ. Let our families flourish and our children grow up in the heritage that we bless them with. Lord, I speak over every child represented from this room, the ones who are close to you and the ones who are far off, the prodigals. Lord, I declare, let the children come home. Let all of our children grow up in the house of God, be taught in the ways of the Lord and not depart from it. And Lord, I just lastly pray for grace. Wherever dads feel ashamed, feel guilty, feel like they're not enough, maybe even now they're remembering mistakes that were once made, I just declare the grace of God upon us all. You forgive us of our mistakes and our sins. We just thank you for a new day. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord God. Amen.
Amen, amen. So cool. Hey, church, can we give a massive round of applause to Darren, to Dave, and to Pastor Dan for sharing with us today. Thank you so much, gentlemen. You can head down, and I'm going to take this ginger beer with me. You can take yours if you want. No, it's all good. Anyway, I'm going to head over to Pastor Dan. Thanks.